Welcome to What's Left, a weekly political discussion challenging the mainstream left. I'm Eduardo Abarca with Andy Lipson. Today, we'll discuss several topics. It wasn't planned this way.
Yeah.
But our plan for this week was to talk about impeachment. But I had told this morning to Andy I would like to discuss Hong Kong. And Andy wants to discuss Memphis. And then we got into some conversation. I'm not sure Andy is trying to derail me and discombobulate me. So I think we should just have this conversation out in the open here. And we stopped talking, and so we're going to have it here.
Yeah.
However, before we move on, you sent me a message. I did not look at it until you just told me a few minutes ago.
Yeah.
So why don't you?
Yeah. We'll get... as I was coming back from jiu-jitsu, which I usually do before our What's Left episode, my uncle called me, and Uncle Aaron, he told me that my Aunt Norma, she had surgery, and her surgery went well, but apparently after the surgery, she had a blood pressure spike, and now she's gotten to what I think is almost like a coma, and she's not expected to survive the day.
Today.
Like maybe the next 24 hours, she'll be gone. And I want to say something about that, because my aunt, she's a communist. She's a revolutionary.
Mm.
She was an original freedom rider. In fact, she was on the Oprah Winfrey Show as part of a retrospective on black and white people who had been part of that struggle for civil rights in the South. And I had always known her as being outspoken and in some ways being difficult, being stubborn, and she was really, has always been an inspiration to me. A lot of people from the 60s, you know, they say, oh, I did that, but that was during my radical period, and now I know better. Now I've learned to make peace with the system. And that was not my aunt. My aunt never made peace with it. And in fact, she was part of the Communist Party, and to her credit, she ultimately either got kicked out of the Communist Party or driven out of the Communist Party because they tried to, you know, tell her what she could do, and she wasn't going to abide by that. And I hope to follow in those footsteps. So she is one of my elders who I look to as an example of how I would like to comport myself in my political life, and not give up. Because I've seen so many people give up on their ideals and say, oh, well, you know, when I was young, I'd believe that. But that was not my aunt. My aunt, she's one of those people who's going to be like a North Star for me, that I'll always kind of keep me pointed on the right step. And that's true with my uncle, too, Uncle Aaron.
Were they together?
They were brother and sister.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you meant.
And so that's his older sister who might be passing in the next 24 hours. And he was also a member of the Communist Party, also kicked out for being found as a gay man. He was kicked out for that. But he was a shop steward, did a lot of union organizing.
He was a homosexual in the Communist Party, and they kicked him out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we'll have to expand on that another time.
Yeah.
I really am curious.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, so both of them are people who mean a lot to me. And so I want to say to Aunt Norma that I love her. I told this to my uncle and want him to wish her kind of Godspeed onto whatever she's got next for her, wherever she's going next. She's going to be somebody else's problem now, you know? Mm-hmm. And, and I was, very proud to be her nephew. Yeah. Nephew.
Mm.
So it means a lot to me to have had her in my life. So just wanted to say something here.
Well, my condolences to your family if they're listening. And I'm sorry, Andy.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to know more of their political background, if we can. Not now, maybe, but when you have a chance. I'm curious.
Yep. Yep.
Well, on that note, then we'll have a lot of lively, actively hot topics.
Can I say something about because we were going to do impeachment. Right.
Right.
And then you said, hey, I want to talk about Hong Kong. And I was like, Yeah, I don't want to talk about Hong Kong. How about like
No, your
Alamut?
question was, you did not say to me, yeah,
That's
I
but I'm
don't want,
just
you said
I
to me, why do you want to talk about Hong Kong?
exactly
Like
I
that.
right
And I
and
said,
I was like, what
why
about talking
not?
about Memphis?
Yeah.
And you were like, well, they don't really know too much about Memphis. And I was like, no, we know a lot about Memphis.
It
And
happened last night. Hong
yeah.
Kong happened Sunday. There are more, is more.
Um,
Memphis happened last night. So I
we're
what
gonna talk
I've
about it. So there's two.
what I read, hold on.
Go ahead.
What I read was not clear for myself. That's all I was
I
trying
know
to tell
that.
you.
I know it was not clear. And interestingly enough, that the United States mainstream media is very clear about protests taking place in Hong Kong, but when those very same protests take place in Memphis, in our own country, suddenly things are not clear. So that's what we're going to be talking about. And well, we're going to see where this leads, because I think you said like, hey Andy, why would you not want to talk about, not that I don't want to talk about it, but I'm
When you ask me
you
why
said
Hong
like,
Kong, I said, why not? Yeah, like,
right,
why wouldn't we? It's.
correct. And we can, and we will, and we're going to talk about it now. But I will first say that, first of all, these are two different protests,
Right.
but they're both protests against repression. They are. The one in Memphis is a protest against another black man being killed in Memphis. There's demonstrations in response to that, and the protests in China or in Hong Kong are in response to these rules around extradition. So we have two sets of protests, and I feel that the one that I would want to pay attention to as it relates to the protest, and I'm not saying I don't want to pay attention to the one in China, but I think it's very interesting to see how the mainstream media reports the protests in China versus how the mainstream reports protests that are literally taking place in our own country, right in our backyard, not ones thousands of miles away, but literally in our country. And suddenly everything's all murky, just like you said. And I don't think it's murky at all. I think the they seem to think that there's a fight for democracy in China, in Hong Kong, but they don't seem to understand that that very same fight for liberation, for freedom, for democracy, for justice is happening right in our own country. Suddenly it's 24 cops got injured, and we don't know why. Somebody got killed, but we don't have the details. And the fact that this is a black man, the fact that the protesters are black, suddenly everyone in this country, our mainstream media, loses its focus, can't figure out what's going on. And I call BS on our mainstream media not being able to, and I know for a fact that the United States has an interest in what's taking place in Hong Kong right now. They have an interest in what's taking place in Memphis. They have an interest in basically demonizing people who are responding to cops, police, and police brutality in this country, and they have an interest in saying, "Oh, let's support the democratic aspirations of the protesters in Hong Kong against the autocracy of China." And both of those things, I think, are at play. That's what I think is at play here. So I can say more, but I'll let you.
Well, I think that this normally does happen in the USA with mainstream media. I'm not in disagreement with that. So I suppose maybe I read you wrong, and so I'll just start off there. I felt when we were on the phone that you were pushing back.
Yes, I was.
All right, so I did read you right.
Yes.
For some reason, I felt as if. Well, I guess my question for you is then, why were you pushing back? I mean, I don't
Okay.
think I'm part of this
No.
system trying to
Right.
distract,
No.
as you were just putting,
Yeah.
you know, do you know,
Yes,
it's like
I
a
do.
distraction. I'm not, I don't think I'm trying to distract us from Memphis, and I simply was saying to you that. It was something that has happened on Sunday,
Right.
and Memphis happened last night.
Right.
And there is something to be said about some both, but I just simply myself, Eduardo, I'm not mainstream CNN here. I'm simply saying myself, I just didn't get enough information, and
Let me say a few
So
things.
I'm just wondering why you pushed back.
I do believe, and I know you're not coming from the same place that the mainstream media is coming from. you're not coming from the same place that the U.S. ruling class is coming from. I would just say that if you bring up a topic that's about exposing the anti-democratic nature of the Chinese government, which it is, it's a capitalist government. It's a ruling class. It's a dictatorship of the bourgeoisie in China, just as it's a dictatorship of the bourgeoisie in the United States. But let's look at the context. Let me read something that what's his name? Who's the vice president?
Mike Pence.
Mike Pence. Mm-hmm. Mike Pence gave a speech to the West Point graduates this year. And here's what he said. This was earlier this month. And I want you to think about why we're suddenly hearing so clearly about these protests in Hong Kong and why our mainstream media is able to report so clearly and so decisively support the protest, democracy there, and not able to say that here. So here's what Mike Pence said. Mm-hmm. He said this to West Point. It is a virtual certainty. He's saying this to the West Point graduates. It is a virtual certainty that you will fight on a battlefield for America at some point in your life. Some of you will join the fight on the Korean Peninsula and in the Indo-Pacific, where North Korea continues to threaten the peace and an increasingly militarized China challenges our presence in the region. Mm-hmm. Some of you will join the fight in Europe, where an aggressive Russia seeks to redraw international boundaries by force. And some of you may even be called upon to serve in this hemisphere. At the same time, a few weeks later, the United States issues two things. They just put up the largest military contract in history, $35 billion, as a down payment on 500 F-35 fighter planes, as a prelude to what it looks like to be a $750 billion military budget that Trump is going to propose this year. And he's going to do that. That's a military budget that is about $20 billion bigger than what the Pentagon is asking for. So the U.S. is preparing for war on two fronts. We can talk about the Strait of Hormuz and what's going on with with the statements about tankers being shot or being mined and things like that. Mm. Mm-hmm. But what's taking place in Hong Kong and the ability of our mainstream media to report on it. So, like, look here. Let's look how they say. I want to read this. Here's how our mainstream media, New York Times, starts with Hong Kong. The clashes between police and protesters have put the government on the defensive and pushed debate over the extradition law back at least 2 days. A leading pro-democracy organization called on residents to take to the streets again this weekend. This is the start of this article, right? With the government on the defensive after a day of violent clashes between protesters and the police, the president of Hong Kong's legislature on Thursday agreed to delay by at least 2 days consideration of a contentious bill that would allow extradition to mainstream China.
Mainland China.
Mm-hmm. Aiming to keep pressure on, the Civil Human Rights Front, which organized a protest against the bill that drew as many as 1 million people last weekend, called on residents to take on the streets again this Sunday. Okay, so you hear that, and you hear the New York Times amplifying mostly the voice of the protesters, the people. I get it. So New York Times is for liberation, for democracy, right? Let's listen about Memphis. Same New York Times, Memphis.
Different writer, no?
Different writer? But who cares? It's the New York Times.
I'm
this is all editing.
I'm just curious. I just want to
of course it's a different writer. Detail. Okay. Memphis unrest, this is the title. Dozens injured after man is killed by marshals. And here's the start. At least 24 police officers were injured in Memphis on Wednesday night after members of a federal fugitive task force shot and killed a man, setting off unrest in one of the city's northern neighborhoods. 3 people were arrested, and the authorities said they had reports that some civilians were also injured. The police used tear gas to disperse the crowds. Here's the first quote they give. The first quote they give is from not from a civil rights organization, from people pushing back against police brutality. This is the police officer. I need everyone to stay calm, the Memphis police director Michael W. Rawlings said at news conference early Thursday. Some individuals who try to agitate a situation, and it's unfortunate because it hinders the true truth coming out. Mm. So, apparently the New York Times can get straight an article, like what's going on in China, and understand that there's a fight for democracy there. But in their own backyard, where there's a fight for democracy in a country which is a gulag state, there are no more people. We imprison the most people in the world in this country. So are we surprised that in a prison state like the United States, that people who are shot and killed by that same police system, right, the same justice system, are having an uprising against it? Is that not a fight for democracy? In fact, this act, way, if you read way down later, turns out there was a man shot and killed in 2018 in that very same area who those police officers only a week ago got off. That was a week ago. So, and I look, you said, and you were not lying. You said, well, this is a foggy situation over there. So how do we know? We know. The reason it's foggy is our mainstream media, which is ruling class media, is going to make that fight for democracy, the fight for democracy and fight for justice, in essentially an occupied, these people are responding like an occupied region. They're throwing rocks. They're fighting back. They're hitting police cars with chairs. Okay, mm-hmm. and they're called a disturbance there. When the police who are in that community, when the justice system which is in that community is not seen as a disturbance. But conversely, let's go to China, all the way over to Hong Kong, not China, but you know, all the way over to Hong Kong, and suddenly it's what are the pro-democracy forces doing? And let's remember that that's happening in the context of the U.S. trying to make war with China, and the U.S. basically saying, wait, what does the U.S. want to do? The U.S. wants to cut off Hong Kong from China. They were going to use, just like they want to cut off Taiwan from China. That's part of isolating that country. They want, guess what? Hong Kong has the ability to extradite those people who committed supposedly committed a crime to Britain and to the United States, but they can't extradite them to China. Mm. Why would they be able to extradite them to the United States? The United States is a gulag state. Mm-hmm. We're trying to extradite Julian Assange. Why are we not questioning? And Britain invaded Hong Kong. The reason Hong Kong's in China's territory right now is Britain invaded Hong Kong about 100 years ago, like 1840s, and then basically took control of it as part of trying to control mainland China. Mm-hmm. So the U.S. ruling class will use this protest as a way of taking on China. That's what this is about. I support those protests. Mm-hmm. I support those protesters. I do. Mm-hmm. But you're not going to get me to come up here and say, oh, fight for democracy against the autocratic Chinese ruling class. Because what that does is it basically gets my ruling class, my working class in this country, and says, let's join up with our ruling class in trying to push China into a box because they're not democratic. Well, guess what? The best way I can show solidarity to the people of the protesters in China is by drawing a light on the attacks on people in Memphis and saying, it's my ruling class that needs to be taken down here. Because if you want to fight for democracy here or in China or in Hong Kong, then you need to dismantle the ruling class here. Mm-hmm. And anybody who tries to say, oh, there's, and that's why it's very easy to get twisted up. You talked about it in terms of internationalism. I would say real internationalism understands that the fight is here and that the attack is here. And they're going to try to throw sand in our eyes and say, no, it's over there. That's where the democracy needs to be made. We need to fight for democracy in China. We need to fight for democracy in Iran. Mm-hmm. And we can't go for that. I'm not saying those regimes are good, but I don't give a crap about them. What I care about is taking down my government because I know that my government is trying to distract me and point to them when my government is the biggest fraud and criminal of them all. Mm-hmm. So my job is to not be fooled by that. And not let them drag me into one of their wars, which is an imperialist war. Mm-hmm.
Would you say possibly that there is some other factor that is at play here as well? That because I feel sometimes that this is...
We're talking about China, we're talking about Memphis, we're talking about Hong Kong.
Both. Okay, just listen to it. I feel as if when I bring up things, mostly, as most people have noted here as well, when we had the FAQ, that I bring up stuff from other countries and possibly it has to do with me being Mexican, having been raised in a different country, having been culturally just outside of this country, and then, you know, also understanding this culture as well. I think that there is just this thing around this, even Hong Kong is covered in the mainstream. Yes, it is. But I feel as if, I'm trying to articulate. Give me a second. Patient with me. I feel as if I'm, as an outsider sometimes, I'm more attuned to what's happening outside, like the Brazilian elections, like the French Yellow Vest movement and the French elections and the Spanish elections and what's happening outside. I feel as if this is, I am in this country and I am very aware and I listen to politics that happened here as well, but I'm not, I have one ear here and I have one ear of what's happening in the French news, and I have another ear of what's happening in Spain, and I have another ear of what's happening in Latin America, which is the third most spoken language in this world. So I have a lot of, I'm inundated, right, and with lots of information. So I happen just to have a very broad spectrum of how I listen to the world. And I feel like a satellite. And whilst I'm very, I think, possibly very conversationally fluent in US American politics, I still am able to dabble in other international affairs because I feel that way. So personally for me, it's not so much that I feel as if I'm distracting us. And you did make it
Oh, I'm not
clear.
saying it's a distraction,
I'm not trying to distract, simply I do try to shed light on other places where I feel most, like Sudan. I had brought that up, and if you notice how many people viewed or listened to that, no one really,
It's unfortunate,
because the people don't care.
And for me, that's not what matters to me either.
All right.
The whether or not there's an audience for this,
Yeah.
that Africa discussion wasn't
But
important.
what I'm just trying to say is, even for the very few followers we have, it's most people pay attention to domestic affairs, I think, and that's all right, that's good. But I think maybe it's just another, I don't know how to articulate what I'm trying to say. It's just that I'm aware.
Let me ask a
Yeah.
question, because I think I know what you're getting at, and I would say that I've appreciated actually, like, when you did bring up the yellow vest, you did bring up Africa. I do think you often are looking a little bit more out there for like stories
I
out there.
see. I yeah, yeah.
I do see that, and I appreciate that. Let me ask you this:
Yeah.
what did you when you proposed talking about Hong Kong?
Yeah.
What did you want to say about Hong Kong?
1 in 7 people of Hong Kong were participating massively
Okay.
on Sunday.
Go
One in seven.
say more.
And I think that China is a very good example of what, how do I articulate? In San Francisco recently, the Board of Supervisors just passed legislation for us not to have here scanning our faces. There is so that we're not trying to be read,
Face
right?
recognition,
Thank you. A face recognition. Whereas in China, it's happening, and there is a massive movement for when we're, I think we're heading there as well. And so I think that what I'm trying to just show is have us shed light on where we're all just what our governments, such as Russia, China, and the
Okay.
USA, and even in Latin America, where Israel también is meddling with, given
Right.
their technology.
So,
I think we need to look at all these forces,
right.
these gangs.
So, what would we do? What would you ask us as workers in the United States to do about this autocratic, meddling China? What would you, and the China, which is trying to take down Hong Kong, which is squeezing Taiwan, which is repressive to its own people, which is snooping on its people. What would you want us to do?
We've already touched on this, I
Okay, well,
think.
I want to hear.
I think personally that we have to organize here domestically, but I also think that we can try to learn from just international global history. I think we can learn from what's happening everywhere, in the Philippines, like with Duterte, and everywhere. I think with
What
Putin.
lessons would you want to draw out of these protests? Because I'm going to tell you that the reason I say this, Eduardo, is we are a very small voice, right? There is a giant, we live in a country which has a giant megaphone of China is autocratic, of Iran is autocratic, of Putin is a madman. And you will use that with this giant megaphone, we'll use that to drive the working class in solidarity with our ruling class into war with them. That's what Pence was talking about. Mm-hmm. He's planning on doing that. Mm-hmm. Do you understand that when we go, China, da-da-da-da, Iran, da-da-da-da, and that's true, actually. There's truth in that.
Right.
And the Iranian people have to take down their government. I'm saying that the best solidarity we can have is not to ignore that. I'm saying the best solidarity we can have is to not be fooled into thinking that the enemy of the working class here is over in China or even over in Russia or over in Iran, but to know that all these forces, the mainstream media here, the entire mainstream media, Democracy Now to InfoWars, all of them are saying, InfoWars is talking about China. All right. Mm-hmm. Democracy Now! Is where you might have heard of this sort of thing.
I heard it.
This
is PFA.
Well, mm-hmm. So the Democratic Party and the Republican Party helped make this happen. Are now united on making war with China. They're united on it now. There was a debate around it. Now they're ready to go. All right. And so, do you see that what we do is we, by not seeing the fine print in that. By not being pointing out, let's not talk about Hong Kong. What I'm going to say is, I'm not going to let them turn Hong Kong into me building the rush for war in this country against the Chinese.
So I have a question for you. How do you see Hong Kong then? How do you personally see Hong Kong? Is it something that you will just dismiss then?
No, I think it's, I think.
But how are you supposed to then see
Hong Kong? I'm going to draw the attention to the hypocrisy that the biggest anti-democratic forces that we have to take down are right here in this country, that our country will go over there. And look, the New York Times is trying to tell, look, the New York Times just tried to support those protesters there. They just were telling that while dismissing literally protesters who are facing police brutality and a gulag situation here in this country. Mm-hmm. They were dismissing that. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to let them put the narrative to it because I know their narrative is a lie. I know their narrative is a capitalist narrative of war making and imperialism. Mm-hmm. So I have to say to them, sorry, I'm not going to fall for your false democracy. I know what you are trying to do is use the actual desperation of people in Hong Kong who want to fight back, and you're going to try to use it to drive me into supporting your war against China. And I'm not going to do it. I'm going to call out the anti-democracy here. I'm going to call out your lies about the actual struggles for democracy in this country and say that my solidarity with Hong Kong takes this form and this form only. Down with Barack Obama, down with Hillary Clinton, down with Donald Trump, all of them have to come down. Mm-hmm. That's it. That's how we do this. We have to take this system and dismantle it. That's my solidarity to the people of Hong Kong because the alternative is my U.S. government getting its fingers into their struggle, which they already are, and it becomes less democratic. It becomes part of an imperialist war of who is going to control that region. And the U.S. is going to use Hong Kong as a plaything. That's exposed by the fact that people are losing their minds over extradition to China, which is an autocratic, unjust country. But people in that country are not already losing their minds that they already allow extradition to Britain and the United States, which the United States is a much more brutal country. I don't think you believe that, but I believe that.
Which you don't speak for me.
I'm just saying that why would you not ask that question? Why are people in Hong Kong not upset about extradition already being going to the United States? Those people, that person who is being accused of a crime could be extradited by the United States right now. Mm-hmm. Why are they not upset about that? Why are they not upset that person can be extradited to the former occupier, Britain, which literally, you know, killed people, immiserated people? Why are they not upset about that?
Well, I'm not too sure. I cannot speak for them. Right?
I can say that puts them in a position of being pawns in an imperial chess game, and that doesn't mean I don't support the cause. But I don't have to fall subject
to
that.
Well, I would assume this is just an assumption.
Yeah.
I would assume that most people in Hong Kong don't want. I would assume from just listening, from giving some context from everything I saw on YouTube. From people being interviewed at the protest, I would assume that most people would automatically assume that Britain is somewhat democratic,
right?
And that China is right. Very.
That's a perfect. That's right. Right.
And I'm just telling you what I think. I
agree. Yeah, I believe that's what they believe.
Right.
That is a perfect setup for them being played in an imperial chess game.
Right.
So, look, I get it. That's a weakness for that movement there. They very well are not going to be as independent as they need to be. Doesn't mean I don't support it, the cause, but we have to call it out and be like, I'm not against them for that reason, but I don't have to fall for that same thing. What I'm going to do is say, no, the government that you, people in Hong Kong, the government that you have to be most fearful of is not the Chinese government. The government you have to be most fearful of is the U.S. They're the biggest bully on the block. They are.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're not going to believe me, because they think we have a democratic here, but I can show them Memphis.
But you understand that sometimes those connections are challenging for people to make.
I understand. That's
because
why.
The dots there are not very outright clear for most people. When a woman from a Muslim country that has to have her brothers be her guards and not allow her to drive, or a woman is not allowed to walk without a man being there, and then they come to Britain, you know, they're trying, like one of the teenagers that wasn't tried to find a refuge in an airport, I forgot her name at this moment, but she went on social media and she's trying to gather support, and then she goes to a country where they don't have to have guards like that and they don't have to be covered forcefully.
Right.
Do you understand that sometimes those that's how people conclude this, Andy?
Right. But
that they
can go
they can go to the USA and Britain and they don't have to be forcefully managed by a man, whereas in their country they do have to be, right? Saudi Arabia is one of those countries.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happens? That's to them, that is seen as a place for them to be, have a little bit more liberties.
I understand that is the illusion.
I think it's just
because that is an illusion, because sexism is deep and wide in this country. I mean, in terms of maybe not their individual experience, but in terms of actual, we just talked about what's happening to abortion rights in this country.
Yes, yes.
Okay. Secondly, how did Saudi Arabia even get created? Who created Saudi Arabia?
Well, I think it's a long history. I don't know. That's very
big. Britain, I can tell you. It was created by Britain. It was carved up after World War I.
Yeah, okay? But I guess that's why I'm telling you. We can look at it from different aspects.
Because Muslim
integrated religious law is not integrated by Britain. That I can tell you.
They definitely support. No, yes, they did.
I did not say they did not support. I said integrated by Muslim religion. That is separate.
It's not separate. The United States supported those
Sharia things. Sharia law this was not created by British folk.
It was empowered by it, yes.
But it was not created by.
That's a matter created.
So
but
all I'm just trying to say, I'm just trying to say is that it is a different, and that's why people flee from these countries.
Right.
And
because because these imperial powers decimate these countries. They put one group in power over another. It's the imperial game of divide and conquer. So I understand how this woman would come to the country who has devastated her country, okay, and say, hey, I like it better here. But that is the author. This country that she's sitting in is still the author of all the problems in those countries. Because the British, the United States, Russia, now China, all these countries have come in and meddled and attempted to prop up one group over another. They have the U.S. just does this today. They have propped up one Sunni group over a Shia group, or one Shia group over a Sunni group. Yes, they didn't start it, but they use those things to sow the divisions to conquer the whole region.
I agree with that part.
Well, so then I'm going to say that if you come, like Star Wars, if you hang out on the Death Star, and you're like, hey, I got a good job here, and people treat me all right, but that is the thing that actually destroyed your planet. I don't know what to tell you. That is still the author of all the bad stuff that's going on. That's the thing that has to be taken on.
Right.
So I can understand people feel that way, but it is our job to penetrate more deeply into this and say, no, that's your experience, but this place, Britain, or this place, United States, is actually the author of all these problems. It's the author of Wahhabism being used as a tool against the people of Saudi Arabia, of Yemen being destroyed right now by Saudi Arabia. It's the author of all this stuff that's going on in Iran. And the U.S. is open about it. They plan on using Indochina, the whole region, as a plaything for fighting China. So Hong Kong, who is now looking at United States as a ally, has to understand that country is being seen as, we're going to fight the Chinese there, so we don't have to fight them here. So your country, your region, your city is going to become the battleground for our, for that fight. Mm-hmm. You're welcome. That's not liberty. That's being used as a colonial pawn. Mm-hmm. And we have to call it out.
I think you can trust that I'm not trying to distract us from
100%.
Yes? 100% trust. That I don't have any intention to try to maneuver or just control the narrative and deviate from what we should be looking at here domestically. Mm-hmm. And I think we have talked about this when even when I did. I think we did an episode on Syria, where I had wanted to talk about something in Syria, and you had said, "Why are we talking about Syria?" And it was maybe we never posted that, but I don't have some. There's no conspiracy here, right? I think we are clear with that. Yeah?
With you,
with me,
yes,
with me.
Correct.
All right, and I. So that's established. Mm-hmm. All right, this is like talking to my partner.
Sometimes, nice.
Because sometimes my partner thinks I'm doing something. Are you just trying to?
Well, yes. With your partner, I can see.
With me, All right. So, all right. That's established. Now, I think for me, I said something. I don't know why. I cannot speak as if I'm completely in the know why protesters are looking at the extradition to China, the mainland China, as opposed to extradition to Britain. Yeah. I suspect that they possibly like women in Saudi Arabia that I mentioned see mostly Western countries to be more of a democracy, no? Quote,
correct,
unquote, for our listeners that don't see my air quotes.
Yes.
And I think that I want to, and this is where maybe we might have some difference here. I almost want to give some, I'm sympathetic to the people who are trying to flee war-torn countries. Mm-hmm. And I'm sympathetic to people who don't want to or are exhausted because of many, many factors. Why people are, like, one of the things that people here in the USA will say is, don't flee to this country, to the USA. Go back to your country and fight your government. And this is what I hear some people will say.
Right. Do either of us agree with that?
No, we don't.
We don't agree.
We
right.
don't.
Open
we
borders,
don't.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
But it almost feels that that is how, when you're saying don't focus domestically, I'm not saying that you've said this, but it feels as if that is almost, it could be interpreted as if that is that same message. Because I have seen people who are anti-immigration say, if you're so willing to fight for your child and risk your life for your child by crossing so many countries to come over to this country, why don't you risk your life in fighting your own government? And of course, that is not how you are, obviously, trying to say this. I know you, and I know that that's not your message. But what I always go to is how your message can be interpreted. And I understand why people would not connect all the dots that you have seen. And I've seen that the way that you carry your message sometimes is confusing. Even for myself, Andy, before, a long time ago, it was very difficult for me to follow you. So I just want to clear up some points that you've mentioned. Mm-hmm. When we brought up what happened in New Zealand, you were talking about mass shootings in the Middle East.
By the United States
government. Right. Yeah. And I was trying to shed light on what happened to New Zealand.
Right.
And you were talking about this is happening already by the USA in the Middle East. Mm-hmm. When we're talking about Hong Kong, you're talking about look at Memphis. And I think people, and I'm not just assuming, because actually you're someone and wrote a letter. And so I know what
people... You're talking about my mother?
So I know what people are actually thinking.
Yes.
And so it feels as if... I get the sense that what you're saying is confusing sometimes. And I understand it. And that's why I want you to speak, which you did. But can you also see why people are confused?
Yes.
All right. It just sometimes it feels like you're somewhere else, Andy, and you're not here with everyone, and you're on some other plane, on some other dimension. Like you're physicist. You're talking about physics and chemistry sometimes, and you're talking about four dimensions, and people are still trying to figure out second dimensions.
We are both internationalists.
Yeah.
Because I think, well, I should let you finish.
No, say it.
But yeah. Like you said, when you first said, wait, Andy, I want to talk about China because I'm an internationalist. And you said it like saying, as if you were saying to me, but you're an internationalist too. What
right.
the what the F? And we are both internationalists.
Well, I didn't say it with the F. I don't say
I know,
the F.
But I heard it as, yeah, like, you know, like, wait, Andy, why is this a problem now? Like,
right.
And,
yeah.
And my form of internationalism, which is predicated on establishing the dictatorship of the proletariat in this country, that is my contribution to the possibility of international working class revolution. Like that, I feel that my best contribution to that possibility is when I'm talking to other U.S. workers to draw a laser focus on how our ruling class is connected to all these oppressions. And we have to be wary of our ruling class using a struggle like there's like even if the struggle like we talked about in Maduro,
Venezuela,
in Venezuela, right? And there are people who are rightfully pissed at a so-called socialist Maduro and opposed to him, and now are the U.S. is going to use that to support Guaido and back the forces of reaction there, and some Venezuelans are going to support that. We actually know that because Hemas talked to them. Okay. Yeah. Similarly, our U.S. ruling class will attempt to divert and throw sand in our eyes by turning the righteousness of a struggle against Chinese autocracy that might be taking place in Hong Kong. And I do support the struggle in Hong Kong against the whatever repression they're facing.
Yeah.
But the best way I can support that is to not allow my government to use their struggle to make that region the chessboard upon which war is waged in Indo-Pacific region, which is what this guy, our vice president, went to West Point to say. He's preparing our soldiers for global war. So we have to prepare our working class for that same global war because they're trying to condition us to say the Chinese are our enemy, condition us to say the Russians are our enemy or so-and-so is our enemy. And I'm going to say no. No, the forces, the anti-democratic forces we have to fight are here. And as evidence of that, I can direct you to a struggle that's just as dire, a protest which had pitch battle between police and protesters, and I can point to one right here that's going on that our government is going to try to tell you, oh, we don't understand what's happening there. Yes, we do. And I guarantee you, if this was happening in China, and there's racism in China, and if the Chinese government was pushing a racist agenda in some city or some state, I can guarantee you how it would be reported by the New York Times with absolute clarity of the autocracy and the anti-democratic nature of the Chinese government. But the very same thing happens here, and everyone's all confused all of a sudden, and it's like, wait, let's let calm. People have to chill out. Be calm. We have to find out the facts first. We don't have to find out the facts. We live in a brutal, unequal, racist society, and black people are rising up in a region. I support that uprising. They should take down the police and remove them. The police are an occupying force in that region. And they're responding like that. They're doing the same thing that children do in Afghanistan with the soldiers, throwing rocks at them when they don't have the guns to deal with it. That's what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have to like know all the facts. I only had to read two articles to know what was going on here.
Well, and... Can we? I want to establish something as well. I think that this is where my country and as well as this country that you say, as northern western countries, how do I say this without getting you triggered?
Just don't say Democratic Party. That triggers me.
There are state-controlled media in China, and there is very controlled media narratives. Here you have the New York Times, but you don't have a communist newsletter being banned in this country, as you have in a state-controlled state country.
There's a lot of banning going on in this country. Like, that's kind of what this...
You can write... We can write something.
There are people who are being taken...
Hold on. This is where I know you... I'm telling you, you're going to get to it.
Look at the NSA. Hold
on. Let me explain.
Yeah.
You can write a newsletter. You and I can write a newsletter. And it will not be tried for sedition. We will not be... We will not be persecuted by the government.
If we had an audience, this website would be shut down.
Yes.
That's what's happening. That's what's happening already. Anybody who has an audience who says extreme views, I say extreme views of we need the government to come down. If we had an audience of 30,000, this website would be shut down.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. That's the reality.
I agree.
We live in that country.
But if we write a newsletter...
Because they don't care about it. It's like a tree falls in the forest and no one hears
it. Even widely spread, like the ISO's paper, was not banned.
The ISO supported the Democratic Party. They melted.
All right.
They weren't even a threat.
But you understand that there is no ban.
I agree.
You agree.
I agree that there's so-called legality for socialists to say what they should say. Unfortunately, socialists don't say anything radical. Socialists right now are saying, let's bring back FDR.
Is there a ban for newsletters?
Not the ISO newspaper,
there
but
there is a ban in China for writing newsletters. Even newsletters.
There's all sorts of restrictions in this country around that.
But do you see that there's a difference?
No.
There is a difference between being...
There's having, censorship here and there's censorship there.
Is there a ban on newsletters?
Why do you make...
Is there a ban on newsletters?
Not that I know of here, but...
There isn't a ban on newsletters here in this country.
But it's...
Nor in my country.
That's not the...
China, this is... No, I will tell you where I'm heading with this.
Okay.
In China, there is a ban.
Okay.
And so there is a ban as well in Saudi Arabia.
Okay.
There are specific bans for specific things you cannot say. Against the prince, you can say things about Donald Trump. You can say things, as of right now.
You'll have the FBI visit you.
You cannot say.
Yeah,
you cannot say or mock the president the way that you cannot mock the prince in Saudi Arabia the way that we can mock Trump.
Uh huh.
There is a difference, Andy.
So, what are there 2.3 million people in prison in China?
Huh?
Are there 2.3 million people in prison in China?
I'm not going to answer this because
you think there's more freedom here.
No, I did not say that.
Well, then I don't know what you're saying.
What I'm just trying to say is there are certain leniencies here.
And then in other ways, we can do newsletters, but they shut down the websites of extreme
news.
Those
are corporate owned, and that's the problem. Yes, I agree.
So in there, they do what they use the so-called Communist Party. Here, they use the free market. Either way, they're both bourgeoisies that are repressing their people.
And what I'm trying to say is that... there is a difference for groups of people to organize here, writing something like that is not corporate owned, that we can do that is not banned, or you cannot do such as in China or North Korea. You just simply cannot. You simply cannot say or anything against Kim Jong-un. You cannot say anything against. I was going to say BDSM, but.
Oh, no.
MBS.
Oh.
BDSM. That's...
Bin Salman. You mean that you're talking about the Saudi Arabian prince?
Yeah. Uh-huh. You cannot say certain things. In North Korea, nope. And in Saudi Arabia, no. Mm-hmm. Look what they did with Khashoggi.
Jamal Khashoggi.
Uh-huh. So, we don't have people here in the USA being chopped up in an embassy. All right?
Dude.
Hold
the
on.
United States.
Hold on. I'm not saying.
Look what we do in Cuba, Guantanamo Bay, Abu Ghraib. The United States is has torture centers all across the
there
globe.
There are certain leniencies we have to acknowledge in this country.
No, I don't have to acknowledge them. I'm going to say it. You don't agree with it. I'm going to say that the most brutal country on this earth, the most unjust country on this earth is the United States. It is our ruling class. It is internationally brutal. It is internally brutal.
Yeah, I agree.
No, the most brutal. You don't agree. You actually think it's the worst is North Korea. You think the worst is China.
I did not say
that. You think the worst is Saudi Arabia.
What I said, which is recorded, that's what I said. And I'm not trying to go into this thing about what you think I'm thinking. No, I said what I said. I said that we can write newsletters, we can speak against Trump like we are now. No, not now at this moment, but we can mock the president. You cannot mock Kim Jong-un. You cannot mock Bin al-Salman. You cannot do those things. So there are differences that you cannot speak foul against a dictatorship.
So how many countries is North Korea occupying?
And
compared to, I mean, like occupying with their soldiers?
No, obviously they just have their own country.
But mostly their country. I don't believe they occupy anyone, anyone else.
Not that
what
I
about
don't
the United
know
States?
Of.
What about the United States? What about this beacon of democracy?
Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that...
You want to talk about newsletters. I want to talk about soldiers, literally, drones being used to decimate people, soldiers being used to occupy regions, okay? And you're going to make, they don't censor this, but they can do newsletters. Eduardo, the reason you're saying that is because you're trying to make an implication. You're not necessarily saying you're trying to make an implication that we have a more enlightened, a more democratic system here than there. That's what you're attempting to say.
We have leniencies, yes, Andy.
Well, I'm just saying you're trying to say it, and I don't agree with that. I'm saying the most brutal regime, please hear me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying...
heard you. You spoke for 14 minutes.
Right. And the most brutal regime on the planet is the United States. You don't agree. And I'm saying because the reason I can say that is because the U.S. is responsible for what Saudi Arabia is doing. The U.S. is responsible for what all these countries that are doing some of these brutal things are doing, and they created those divisions in order to ensure that they can continue to be
wealthy. I understand that.
So the United States isn't just internally repressive, it is internationally repressive.
And where I'm heading with what I'm saying is that, how do you then, I have a question for you, this is my following question, how do you then, what do you say then in the context of, let's go back to World War II, or before World War II, mm-hmm. when Hitler is committing genocide, and people are not even able to organize.
There was the Polish resistance in Warsaw ghettos, yes. And are you going to ask me what I say about what we do here?
So
in
we do
States?
Not just, so...
No, we take our, we do not, I believe, we
so
turn
we
imperialist...
ignore and...
No, we use it as a way to take down our own government. We do not fight overseas mm-hmm. over forces that are, the United States actually supported, they supported Hitler, okay? We turn imperialist war abroad into civil war at home. That's what the Communist Party should have done. Instead, the Communist Party aligned itself with FDR, shut down the strikes that were taking place, and said, we're going to war. We're going to fight fascism. And that, they were pulled into imperialist war. That is not what we should have done. What we needed to do in World War II, while Hitler's soldiers are on the march, we needed to take this country's government down and make a socialist revolution happen in this country.
Not everyone was going to be on board on this.
Of course not. That's what. But
that's why FDR
but now
hijacked
we're here.
All those socialist programs.
That's right. Well, that's right. That's right. And that's why but I'm just saying that that's what needed to happen. So no, I do not support us engaging because they're going to use the same justification. We're coming to World War III. They're going to use the same justifications of fascism in North Korea, fascism in China. That's already happened. They're already talking about it, and they're gonna say, you might not like me, but we gotta go fight. Again, do you think Pence is lying when he talks to his
wife? No, of course not.
Well, then he plans on bringing us to war there. He's getting them ready. Do you think he's gonna say that because, we want to get oil? No, mm-hmm. He's gonna talk about fascism. He's gonna talk about how bad they are. I'm saying to our soldiers in West Point, you need to use your guns to take down your own government. That's mm-hmm. what you need to do. Because they're planning on a war abroad. And that war is going to end life on this planet for most humans because it's going to end in a nuclear conflagration.
I suppose I'm. It doesn't sit well with me that you don't acknowledge that there are certain liberties here. There are certain liberties in this country, which is the reason why people, I'm trying to get at that. What my point is trying to say, what I'm trying to say is that I think there is something to say for people for the disconnect and why they are distracted and why people are in survival mode and they come to this country. And I'm not trying to say that this country is the democracy I want to see. It's not the democracy that it's a, ¿cómo se dice? Finge. It's a pretend democracy. But there are liberties here. And I acknowledge those liberties, such as in my country as well. There are liberties. Women do not have to, like I have said already, women do not have to be guarded and restricted in my country the way that, and in the USA, the way that in many Middle Eastern countries. Yes, Andy, what?
Women are, like, have all sorts of insecurities.
And outside of corporate, like YouTube, outside of corporate media, like Facebook, outside of state-sponsored media,
there's a massive
independent media is not censored.
Anything that gets relevance, and there's a massive snooping operation using the NSA dwarfs whatever even that China has. Mm-hmm. They collect more data on us and use it to they're going to use it to control us more than any other country on the globe. So mm-hmm. No, I'm going to repeat, you might not agree with it. We actually have the most repressive, violent, dangerous government. We live in the country of that ruling class on the planet. You don't agree. I get it, but that's how I see it. And we're going to have to agree to disagree.
Right, I understand.
Yeah.
But I think that people should comment and on the comments below, and they should try to point out and articulate. We were supposed to talk about impeachment today.
We will next week.
And this conversation threw me completely off, as Andy likes to do. So I'm not prepared exactly. He threw me off with this. So I'm a little bit taken aback, I will say. And I'm slow. I'm sleep deprived. And I was ready to have an easy conversation, I kept repeating to you this week. I kept telling you I want something easy this week.
But, well, I think the impeachment stuff, I've done some studying about impeachment. I want to talk about it. We'll do it next week, and then we'll roll over identity politics to the 2 weeks from now.
All I'm just trying to say is, I think what I would like to do is come back to this discussion, and there's something off about your presentation. I think I understand what you're saying, but there's something off about the way your presentation. I'm looking at your presentation and I'm seeing it tonight. There's something that is doesn't connect. Something, not saying that you're wrong or anything. I'm simply saying
it's okay. I mean, it's fine if you don't agree.
But Andy. You want me to pinch you? I think it will not sit well with our listeners.
No, I don't think.
And I honestly don't think it's. I think it's the way that you present this.
You don't. You think I am exaggerating?
No. Okay. No.
Or you think I'm not?
I simply think that you should acknowledge some things as well. There are some things to acknowledge.
Why? Because I want a revolution, and this system has to be taken down. I'm not going to give them credit for anything. Anything that we do have in terms of newsletters, we had to fight for, and they're taking it back. Why would I give them any credit for it? They didn't give those rights. We fought for them, and they're being stripped away piece by piece by piece. So why would I give them credit when they weren't? We were the ones
because
who
you cannot
for
even say that independent media is not it's part of freedom of speech here,
right? And it's
not
increasing.
In China. Yes,
they have,
but there's banned. It's completely banned. Books are banned. Media is controlled. Narratives are controlled by the government specifically,
and
not corporations.
And people
by the government.
Which country has more strikes, United States or China?
I don't know.
That's China by a long shot.
Statistics.
No, I don't know the numbers. But yeah, I don't anybody see. Can check this. China per year has way more strikes than the United States, even with our red wave. Do you think those strikes came about
by people not? How do you know that?
These are statistics. Okay, I don't have it in front of me, but there's waves after wave of strikes mm-hmm. in China among the working class there and among farmers even.
Mm-hmm.
So why is that happening? Because people are just fooled? Because the government's got everything under wraps? I understand why they want to try to control things, and I understand why our government wants to convey as if their government has a wrap on everything. It's a lie. It's a lie about what's happening to the working class there. It's a lie about what's happening to the farmers there. There's class struggle in that country. The place where there is less class struggle is our country. And that's because they've got things way more under wrap here because we're trapped under a combination of repression that is a giant censorship and fear network that exists in this country, as well as co-optation through the Republican and Democratic Party.
Mm-hmm.
The ruling class in this country has got things way more under wraps here than the ruling class in China does. China has got a lot bigger problems with its working class and its base of farmers than the ruling class here. And that's one of the reasons the ruling class feels so confident that when the next wave of the global recession comes around, that the reason the U.S. feels they're going to do so well in comparison to the other countries is because they feel more confident about the stranglehold they have on the working class here. So no. Workers here are not more liberated. Workers here have a more slave mentality, have a more fear mentality. We have 2.3 million people in prison. I reject everything you said in terms of the implications of it. That is, that somehow people in China are being enslaved and people over here have some liberty. It's backwards. There is more enslavement, more repression here, and I can tell you that by the level of strikes, by the number of people in prison, and by what we have as a giant NSA apparatus, and I can tell you that by the ability of our working class to allow our country to spread its tentacles across the globe and strangle everyone else. China hasn't been able to get away with that yet. They plan on doing it, and they're going to have to strangle their own working class to do it, but they haven't been able to get that stranglehold on themselves, partly because they still live in the legacy of the last revolution. So, you got it backwards. Chinese have more liberty.
All right.
In terms of their fight back than we do in this country. We are slaves here. We are cowards here. We don't fight back, and we need to.
All right. There's a lot I agree with you, Andy, but I am not delusional, all right, as well. Don't try to portray me as if I am just got it backwards and everything else.
Well, I just said that. I didn't portray it. I just said it.
I will say this. So you spoke mostly, and mostly because I was trying to see where you were going, and I wanted to hear your point out. And this is a huge detour from our original topics.
I know.
So I will state this, and why I'm hesitant, and I think it's only fair. I'm hesitant because there are liberties I acknowledge in this country as well as in my country where we are not mandated to have a selected few number of haircuts to have, such as in North Korea, where you are mandated to only have the selected few haircuts, where you are forced to wear certain clothing, where you are forced to labor work and not get paid for or fight for a minimum wage because it exists none, where you're not allowed to even mock the leader of your government of your country, where we are allowed to have that in my country as well as in this country, and where women are not being forced into marriage the way that in other countries are, that we do not have here or in my country of Mexico. And even those small liberties are huge for individuals. And I think that we should acknowledge those liberties.
I will acknowledge them. I think they had to be fought
for,
and they were not granted by the
And you've spoken enough, Andy. Okay. Right. I have to finish what I have to say, because then I lose my train of thought.
Okay.
So, those liberties are there, and I'm simply saying that is what makes people flee to Europe, to Mexico, from the south to the north, to the USA. And these are the reasons why people flee there. It is, yes, I think people don't think of the bigger picture that we should organize domestically. But I do want to sort of acknowledge the reasons why. And I think this is part of the reason why mentally we're enslaved here in this country, because we're very comfortable And we seem to think that this country has it all together when it doesn't. I understand that. And we compare ourselves in this country and in Mexico to Uzbekistan, to Russia, for LGBT people who say that, oh, in Russia you cannot be a homosexual because you'll be persecuted and you will not be here in this country. I understand all that. But there are certain liberties, and I will want to acknowledge that. And those I will not credit to the government. I will credit those to the movements that have been here in this country that have fought for those liberties. Right. So as I acknowledge them, I will also credit them to the movements that happened on the ground for that to happen, right, and not to this government.
Right.
I agree with 90% of what you have said. Simply, there are things that I feel as if they are maybe not understood for a lot of people, because people see things as isolated events. What happened in New Zealand, and people
right,
make these posts,
right,
and what happened in Paris, but we forget what happens in the Middle East.
And the U.S. will take advantage of that.
Yes, and is what I wanted to say, right, next, was that that is a way to deviate our attention, mm-hmm, and we value some lives more than other lives. And this I acknowledge as well. I wrote a post, a Facebook post about this, actually, in 2016 when I was in Europe and I was abroad and in France, and no, I was in England, and Paris attacks happened, and then the Belgium attacks happened in 2016, mm-hmm, and no one acknowledges how many deaths have happened in the Middle East, in Syria. Mm-hmm. So, yes, I know that this is an advantage point to the governing class, where they can say, look what these terrorists are doing, mm-hmm, in our Western countries, like in our beloved Paris.
Right.
And we forget all the people that are over to Europe and fleeing, and the refugees, and we're saying they're bringing all these issues and they shouldn't be allowed when we have bombed those countries. So I understand the narratives is controlled and they're using it for their advantage. Mm-hmm. It's just, I feel sometimes you just also don't want to acknowledge sometimes. You're so stubborn to acknowledge that these fought, hard-earned, small liberties that have been, like I already said, I feel like, yeah, I'm being redundant, have been gained through movements on the ground, should be acknowledged. But you're right, they're just small and they're not enough, and there needs to be an overturn, an overhaul of the entire system itself.
Right. And those movies were anathema to our bourgeoisie, and it's our bourgeoisie that is responsible for all this mess, that people don't just leave Mexico or South America because they see a beacon of democracy. They leave there because our bourgeoisie is responsible for torpedoing the economies of those countries.
Yes.
So these are not just people fleeing a sinking ship. Our country sunk their ship, and now they have to leave to come go somewhere else. Come here, ironically. So I'm not going to give us credit. I'm not giving the U.S. any credit for being this beacon of democracy, because it isn't. It's a beacon of violence. It's a beacon of imperialism. It's a beacon of war. It's a beacon of class division. That's all it is. That's all it's ever been. And to the extent that there's any liberties, it's the ones we've extracted from them. And then now they're trying to take them back. So no, I don't give them any credit. They're my implacable enemy.
In credit to whom?
To the ruling class of this country. Because that's what this country is.
I wasn't giving credit to the ruling class. Well, I was giving credit to the movements that have fought hard for those,
right,
for, well, certain rights here.
So our country is now going to use anything that we've
But do you acknowledge that certain rights have been given to people who have long, hard fought for them,
yes,
as well?
Yes, but they're being taken away, and I'm not going to allow them to be used to then say, well, these governments are autocratic, and therefore we're going to go to war with them. Because that's what's happening right now, Eduardo. Mm-hmm. That's the narrative. So I will not give my government any credit. I will say that it is the most brutal regime, and I think...
You keep talking about your government. I'm talking about civil rights movements.
Well, I'm talking about my government. I'm talking about the capitalist class, because that's who's doing all this stuff.
They've appropriated those rights, yes. Yes, I know that they have, yeah, given themselves credit,
yes,
too, yes. But where we can see the movement have happened was on the ground, grassroots,
sure,
yes? Can,
okay,
we agree with that?
And those movements didn't go far enough, and those movements,
yes,
now
I
we're
agree,
seeing those rights taken, rolled back.
Right.
And so we're going to need to take complete power from them.
All right.
and they're but
this is
instead,
the way you said it, all right.
No, but they're going to try to use somebody else's autocratic nature, which I'm not disputing, to get us to fight a war and to create solidarity between us and our ruling class. That's how they use war. That's how George Bush uses war. That's how Barack Obama uses war. That's how Donald Trump is going to use war, is to basically make the American people in solidarity with him and our war making.
All right. I think the only thing I will offer to you, Gandhi, is a little criticism. If you want to try to reach more people to join and to make una revolución, there's something about your language, the way you frame things, is inaccessible.
You just don't agree with it.
No, it's not that.
Well,
Andy.
We'll see.
No.
We'll see. Comment on it.
Let me finish, Andy. You spoke for 14 minutes. You keep interrupting.
All right.
There is something about the way that you present it. Somehow, I have to really think hard. That's why maybe if people are watching this, my listeners, I invite them to look at this YouTube channel, this YouTube video itself. And I'm very pensive because I have to form I have to almost translate what you're saying in my head to, so that I can try to make sense of what you're trying to say.
Yeah.
It's like when you're talking about CRISPR, you have to bring it down to some levels to explain to children. I feel this way, that I don't know, there's some, the words, the articulation that you bring, I understand. And maybe this won't be insulting to some people because they will think that they understand and they just want to go with this agreement. But I do, and then they'll probably troll me and they will say that I'm actually making them feel stupid, or I call them stupid.
I think people will understand and see the difference between what we're saying. So I think we disagree on reform versus revolution.
All right, then I think that, all right, I think we're belaboring.
Yes. If you've stayed with us so far, thank you. But I think this has been
interesting. We need to condense a little of this conversation.
We'll see. Yeah. You can do your
we'll
editing.
We'll see. We'll see. We'll see. Andy.
All right. Where are we at now?
You're going to cut this pause. Hold on. Let me compose myself. There's just a lot of information tonight. And it was good. It was good. I personally, Andy, do not think that I disagree with you. I personally think that I'm trying to make you say some things and you don't want to say it. I think that's what's happening.
You're trying to get me to say something I don't believe.
No, it's not that. Just even telling you something, like crediting.
Back at it, we're trying to end this episode here. Come on, let's put it to a... let's end this.
Crediting people, you just cannot even say that. You just cannot even say that. You don't want to say it.
Okay. I'll leave it at that.
All right. It's been a long night. Mm-hmm. So let us finish up. And
this episode is dedicated to my aunt Norma.
All right.
She would have definitely liked how much of a pain in the ass I was being, because she was a similar pain in the ass. And she would agree with me more than agree with you.
Well, I think we will revisit this conversation. This is maybe part two or part three, because I think we had something similar. So mm-hmm. we'll revisit this conversation. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Andy, for moving us some other way.
Mm-hmm. Impeachment next week, I think.
All right.
Then identity politics after that.
All right. So that's the topics that we will have. If you liked any of this, please subscribe, rate, review, and best of all, share.
Right.
And I really do think that this one, especially, this one I will say, please write your comments below.
Yes.
We had some wonderful comments for the topic on ISO, former ISO member.
Yeah.
And I think that this will generate a lively discussion. I would really like to hear this one.
Me too.
And even if this is a comments that will happen in 2 years, 3 years from now, I would really like to revisit this episode in the future. Yeah. So thank you very much. With that said, we will leave it tonight.
And you can see it on YouTube.
Yes, thank you. You can tell how sleep deprived I am.
iTunes.
You can see us on YouTube. You can see us on iTunes, BitChute, Stitcher, and Google Play.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
All right.
And we'll chat.
See you next week.
Bye-bye. Ciao.